Hello and welcome in to my debut podcast, Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. And just as Joseph's story in Genesis says, what they meant for evil, God turns into good. So a bad situation, we are turning into a wonderful situation, and that we are not backing down. I too am a victim of the COVID mandates and layoffs. As a former now PGA Tour broadcaster, I am taking this new mission that God has thrusted onto me, and I am now going to share your stories because my story is just one of far too many out there right now. So we're going to talk about throughout this podcast in general, moving forward each week, about mandates, about free speech, parental rights, you name it. We are going to talk about the everyday American heroes that are standing up for their freedoms, fighting for the rights for themselves, for those that disagree with them, and for the future of this country and their children's rights. So this is going to be such a wonderful podcast, a wonderful show, and a wonderful next step for me. So for all of you that have been following my journey, I am so blessed and so appreciative of you continuing to follow me throughout this journey that I have been on, from sports broadcasting to now continuing to tell stories, because that's ultimately what my job has been as a broadcaster and a journalist for the 10 plus years that I've been in the industry. And so I'm excited to take what seems like a bad situation and turn it into something good. And hopefully we will make a difference. And I know that we are making a difference because this podcast is all possible by WeThePatriotsUSA.org. They are who I am partnering with to hopefully help set precedent with my case that I'll be taking against the PGA Tour, but also they are doing so much work in the U.S. court system right now to help defend and unite Americans that are standing up for their rights, helping them to stand strong, helping them to set precedent in the court system. They have some big court cases going on right now, including one that is in the Supreme Court. So we're going to catch you up on everything they are doing to help defend your freedoms and your rights here in America. We're catching up with Brian Festa and Don Jolly of We the Patriots USA. They are going to give you some very important information that you need to know. What is going on in this fight right now? How does that affect you? How can you join them in the fight by going to WeThePatriotsUSA.org and making a donation, a tax-deductible donation to their nonprofit and the cause that they are fighting for? We're going to hear from both Don and Brian why they started We the Patriots USA. They both have incredible stories, some military background mixed in there, some past vaccine injuries and things related to that that they've had to deal with their family and their children. So this is a very, very personal mission for both of them. So I encourage you to dive right in with us, to take a stand with us, and to hear and listen the stories of so many people out there in America that are out there fighting, some silently, some loudly, and it is making a difference. So without further ado, here is episode one of Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Freedom is non-negotiable. Mandates, free speech, cancel culture, parental rights, these are real people that have stood up for their freedoms no matter what. Welcome into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA, helping everyday Americans defend their God-given rights. I am excited to be joined by We the Patriots USA President and co-founder Don Jolly and Vice President and co-founder Brian Festa. Yesterday, you guys had a big announcement of a new case that you are taking, and you've got a lot more happening currently right now too that people need to know about. So tell us, what is We the Patriots USA up to right now?
Well, Taryn, first of all, I just want to say before I say anything that I am so excited. Don and I are so excited to have you here as the host of our very first We the Patriots USA podcast. We are so thrilled to have you and blessed to have you join our team. So I just wanted to start off by saying that. Yeah, we had a huge announcement yesterday. People for months, for a year now, for more than a year now, have been telling us that we need to go after pharma, right? Big pharma is behind all of this, in conjunction, of course, with the government. But people have been saying for the longest time that we need to go after the pharmaceutical companies. And we haven't done that yet because the right case, quite frankly, hadn't come along yet. But we were approached by a group of over 100 Bristol-Myers Squibb employees about 2 months ago who said, when they showed me what was happening to them, I was floored. The questions they were being asked in order to prove the sincerity of their religious beliefs were just unbelievable, the worst I've ever seen. So they were asking things like,
we see a lot.
We see a lot, right? We talked to thousands of people from all 50 states. That includes Hawaii and Alaska. Yes, I have talked to people in Hawaii and Alaska.
And people outside of the country, although unfortunately we don't have any attorneys to refer them to in most countries, but we get quite a bit from all over the world.
Right. So they were asking questions like, have you ever smoked a cigarette? Have you ever consumed alcohol? Do you have any tattoos? Have you ever used recreational drugs? Now listen, what those things have to do with an experimental, dangerous substance being force injected on these individuals, these employees, that was procured and developed using aborted babies? I don't know, okay? To compare that compulsory injection of a toxic substance that has known adverse side effects, and again, was procured, including death, by the way, was procured using aborted fetal cell lines, to compare that to drinking a beer.
Or having a cigarette when you were 16, or, yeah, you know, smoking pot in college or something like that. Really?
Give me a break.
Is that really the comparison?
And so many to our viewers and our audience out there, so many people are getting questions like that during their exemption process that seem intrusive and seem like they don't have anything to do with the situation at hand.
Exactly. It's absolutely ridiculous. They clearly don't understand Title VII, but we're going to give them a lesson in Title VII in the courtroom. So we filed yesterday a federal lawsuit in the Southern District of New York, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. We filed a lawsuit on behalf of four plaintiffs. So it was our attorneys. It wasn't actually We the Patriots USA. Mm-hmm. We're not a law firm. We're a nonprofit organization. But our attorneys that we connected these employees with, four employees, filed a federal lawsuit in the U.S. District Court yesterday. The lead plaintiff, Carrie Kafalas, is not only a physician, but she has a master's in public health. So if this woman doesn't know about public health, if she's not qualified, then I don't know who is.
She wouldn't have, right, the position she had if the pharmaceutical company hired her for that position. She's clearly qualified.
She's got a very high-ranking position in the company. But she is also a military veteran. We love to support our veterans. Don, she'll tell you in a little bit, is a U.S. Navy veteran, although I guess I just told it for her. And she's also the single mother of three children. So, and she doesn't have, any outside support. She's the sole provider for her children. So really, we couldn't be happier to have her as the lead plaintiff, and the others are amazing as well. We've got a biotechnologist, a biologist, a data security professional. I mean, we just have some amazing plaintiffs that all have one thing in common. They all have sincerely held religious objections to this shot. And Bristol-Myers Squibb refused to acknowledge that and denied their exemption. So we are in federal court now. Stay tuned for that lawsuit. We have a lot of other huge lawsuits. We have a lawsuit before the United States Supreme Court right now Okay, that is the New York healthcare workers lawsuit, because the state of New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, and the Department of Public Health seem to think that they can have a state-sponsored religion, which forces you to receive this injection. Clearly a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, as well as the Free Exercise of Religion Clause in the First Amendment. And so we have a federal lawsuit that is now pending review by the United States Supreme Court right now on an emergency injunction.
Those of you who don't know, that's the governor who says that vaccines are a gift from God.
And that she wants us to be her apostles. She actually used those words. That's an actual quote from her. So to me, if that doesn't smack of a state-sponsored religion, I don't know what does. And again, I don't know who these attorneys are, where they went to law school. I mean, I hate to be crass like that, but I'm just going to come out and say it. Like, that's like first week of law school stuff. You don't say that. Like, the state cannot ever say anything about religion in that way, especially publicly. This is a public event at a church, where she's talking about, you know, you basically need to bow down and worship this vaccine. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it's all preparation for the mark of the beast. That's what that is. But we'll talk about predictive programming later, maybe.
Yeah, well, Dawn is doomsday Dawn. So she will tell you everything bad that's going to happen, okay?
And everything good that's going on in the world. I balance it well with all the beauty of small children and animals and all the people doing amazing things in this fight. There's a lot of beautiful things in this world, right? God made this incredible planet, and we're blessed to be on it. But yeah, I definitely have been blessed or cursed with a bit of the gift of prophecy. And unfortunately, my predictions have all come true so far. But we'll talk more about that later too.
Yeah, we need to hear about some of those predictions. But first, Dawn, tell our audience why these different cases can affect them and why they apply to them and why they need to care about them.
Well, they're coming for everyone. So if your company is one of the few that have not already attempted to institute such a policy, don't think that you will be spared, because we're not finding that that's the case at all. A lot of companies are playing the wait and see game, but you know, I'm not a psychic. I don't believe in psychics, but we don't know what's going to happen next exactly. Who knows what this administration is going to attempt to pull off? The United Nations, the World Economic Forum. I mean, we're talking about major global players with more money than anybody else on this planet. We don't know what they're going to do, but we can assume based upon the last 2 years that it's not going to be pleasant, and it's not going to be for we the people, that's for sure. So we all need to be vigilant. We all need to be prepared. And even if this isn't going to affect you yourself on a personal level, I can guarantee that a family member or a friend or a neighbor or somebody else in your circle is going to be affected by this. And it's really our duty to care for other people, and not in the socialistic or communistic type of way, just because it's the right thing to do. I don't think the state or the government should be compelling you to do any such thing, but just because we're all here together, right? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do, is to stand up for the truth and to make sure that we're all going to be taken care of. And you know, there's a million different ways to do that. Some people donate their time, some people donate their services, some people donate their money. We really need all of those things. But at this point, being that we're up against some major, major players, Brian will tell you more about some of the other cases we have, but we're talking about the state of New York, we're talking about Big Pharma, we're talking about Walmart. I mean, we're going up against some pretty big giants here. Unfortunately, lawsuits cost money. So unfortunately, that's what we need the most of at this point in time.
And Brian, how can people that are wanting to help out, how can they do so with We the Patriots USA?
Right. So everyone can be a part of this. I know a lot of people listening and a lot of people I talk to often feel so helpless with everything going on in the world. They feel like they can't do anything, but they can do a lot. First of all, they can pray. As you can already hear from Dawn, you know, we are strong believers. We are strong Christians, and we stand up for all people, but those are just our personal beliefs.
Right. Freedom of religion covers all the religions. Mm-hmm. So we stand up for anyone's religious beliefs, whether or not we personally agree with them.
Right. But a lot of people feel like they can't, they just can't do anything right now. And I'll tell you, you can be a huge part of this by making a financial contribution, because that's our biggest obstacle right now. That's what we're up against. Think about who we are up against. All right. the major players here, we already mentioned big pharma, state government, the federal government, big tech. I mean, when you add all those entities together, you're talking about untold trillions of dollars, really unlimited funds, because the government can just keep printing it, right?
Right.
Even though that's an illusion. But at the end of the day, your contribution is extremely valuable, because this is a David and Goliath fight. And the only way that we're going to win this is with the support of all of the listeners who are out there and all of the people who follow us and who like the good work that we're doing. So you can go to wethepatriotsusa.org. If you go on that homepage, you'll see right at the top, there's a tab that says donate, and there's a dropdown. You can either make a one-time donation or a monthly donation. Both are appreciated, but I will say monthlies, especially. I know that's tough for a lot of people, but we need a predictable stream of income so that when we're planning these lawsuits, as people are calling us and we're reviewing our litigation docket or our proposed docket of lawsuits that we would like to file or like to fund, I should say, you know, we need to have a budget. If we don't know what's coming in from one month to the next, there's no way we can tell someone, yes, we're going to be able to take on this lawsuit.
It makes it very difficult for predicting purposes. I mean, I'm sure any person could understand that if you have a full-time position with a company, perhaps, and you get paid every week or every 2 weeks or once a month, you know what you're working with. Whereas if you're self-employed, perhaps, I've done government, I've been self-employed, I've worked for companies, so I understand all these different things myself. But when you're self-employed and you don't know when that next paycheck is coming, that's very stressful. So having to operate from that place is not ideal. Of course, we work with whatever we have, but a smaller monthly donation is actually more important than a larger one-time donation for that very purpose. Then we know exactly what we're working with. We have a sense of what we can rely upon, and then it gives us the opportunity to help more and more people, because unfortunately right now, limited funds means limited help that we can provide to other people, because obviously everyday common people cannot afford to fund their own litigation. We're talking $100,000, $200,000, whatever the numbers may be. Most of us can't afford that. I certainly couldn't afford that. And the whole intention here is that we will help you. We don't expect you to do this all on your own. That's what we're all about. So we want to be able to fundraise and to have enough money in our bank account where you say, oh, we can donate $50,000 of that, no problem. But we can't do that without people like you that are making these donations. So,
and I have to thank all the people out there that have made donations and that are continuing to do so, because you guys have been able to help me, because like you said, you know, us everyday Americans don't have big enough pockets to take on these big companies like myself, the PGA Tour. I don't have the pockets to take on a giant sports league like that, but you guys swept in and came to the rescue and said, you know, we think that your case can help other people. So that's why we're taking it on. And, you know, I encourage people to make a donation because you never know when this could be helpful and something that could impact you, because for me, my husband saw We the Patriots USA, saw Brian on Steve Dace's show a couple months ago, and decided he was going to make a donation because he wanted to support your cause. And little did we know, just a little bit later, that, you know, we would actually unite with you guys on this front. So tell people, Brian, a little bit more about what We the Patriots USA does, what those donation dollars are going toward.
Well, one of the things, as you just mentioned, is a perfect segue for me. You teed it up, to use a golf expression. You knew I was going to find a corny way to slip that in there, Taryn.
I love it. Dad jokes are great.
I'm good for a few of those. So your case is one of our biggest cases we're really excited about right now, because the PGA Tour is huge, right? They're a huge company, professional sports organization. And without our supporters, you're right, we never could have done it. But you were fired, you know, very unjustly, we believe, you know, just for holding firm to your religious beliefs against the mandates. And there were mandates. There are mandates at the PGA Tour, regardless of what, you know, some news articles may tell you. There definitely are. And so we are filing that on your behalf. We are very, very happy. Our attorneys, I should say, are filing that on your behalf. We're very, very happy that we've been able to connect to you with them. And we believe that'll be precedent setting, because when we win, not if, when we win, that's going to send a shot across the bow, ripples throughout the professional sports world. So, you know, I'm hearing today a player who supposedly misrepresented his vaccine status, Antonio Brown, who plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is suspended now for 3 games or something. I'm hearing other players, NBA players, who have refused the shot and are being disciplined for it. So, you know, we want to let people know that we're here for you too. You know, if one of you happens to be listening, or if you know a professional athlete or anyone who works for one of these sports organizations, or any organization, of course, please reach out to us, info@wethepatriotsusa.org. You can find that email address on our website. We the Patriots USA, as we like to say, it's, if you go to our website and it describes a little bit about our organization, it was founded out of necessity. And what that necessity was, unfortunately, was the tumult that the country found itself in the summer of 2020. So if you remember in 2020, that was around the time of the George Floyd incident and all the riots that were happening as a result of that, Black Lives Matter, as well as all of the lockdowns, all of the mandates, the mask mandates, the shutdowns, businesses being closed, schools closed, everything that had happened in this country, and it was coming to a head. And Don and I looked at each other and said, you know, we've got to do something about this, because we had already had an organization. We had a smaller regional organization called the Connecticut Freedom Alliance, which still exists. But we said, you know, this is so much bigger than just, you know, the Northeast part of the country.
Right.
The things that are going on, we need to take this on at least a national level, even though it's really happening on a global level. Maybe we'll get there someday, but we said we need to do something. We need to do it now. So we fight for everything. We fight for all constitutional rights. That's not just the First Amendment, not just freedom.
Right. We've been more focused lately on freedom of religion and medical freedom, because those are seemingly the most pressing issues, right? If you don't have the freedom to choose what's being injected into your own body, you don't have freedom, period. And freedom of religion is obviously the First Amendment, or a part of the First Amendment, for a very important reason. It's first, right?
Absolutely.
But like Brian said, we fight for everything. We would love to be taking on, and once we have more donations coming in, we will be taking on more Second Amendment cases, defending homeschooling rights and parent freedom, you know, just how parents want to raise their children. I mean, we have the FBI breaking down doors of parents' homes just because they spoke up at a school board meeting. Not that I advocate for schools, quite frankly, although I do, of course, respect other people's choices. You have the right to educate your child in any way that you wish, but I don't know why at this point anyone even has their children in these institutions. That's the best word I could even use to describe them at this point. It's really terrifying. But nonetheless, we actually were heavily involved with 5G at one point in time before COVID really, you know, slapped us across the face, essentially. So, you know, EMFs are something that are very important to us. Food. I mean, I am really big into what's going on right now. I'm hoping that people are starting to wake up to this issue. The fact that we have food supply chain issues. I mean, we have all supply chain issues, but particularly with our food, right? We can't live without food and water, and our water rights are under attack all across America. Our farms are being bought up by players like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. I mean, what don't these guys have their hands on? We just have so many issues surrounding agriculture that I think most people aren't aware of. Fertilizing problems. I mean, I could just go on and on about the weather modifications, so many things that are plaguing our nation that I don't really think most people are aware of. And there's a lot more that we would like to bring to the public, bring to light. Because that's really what we started on, was not only taking action in the courts, which of course is what we're spending much of our time and resources doing at this point in time, but educating people. Because people won't fight for something that they don't believe in, and you can't believe in it if you don't even know it exists, right? So education is a huge part of what Brian and I believe in. We are both former teachers. It's just something that's really, really important to us. And we would like to be able to do much more of that. I mean, these podcasts are fantastic, and all the interviews that we get the opportunity to do, they're wonderful as well. We don't want to only be fighting this through the courts, and we're not. If you follow us on Telegram, We the Patriots USA, I run the Telegram channel there, keeping people abreast of what's going on throughout the day, really throughout the globe. Because I do report on some international issues that I feel are relevant and that are going to essentially be coming down the pike and hitting us here. But we just believe in freedom. We're Americans, first and foremost. Like, we are Americans. We get our freedom from God. God gave that to us when we were born. period, end of story. No government, no corporation, nobody is going to take that away from us. So we are absolutely positively standing firm on that to our very last breath. So we want to be able to educate the public about what those rights are, what that process looks like, and how they can get involved.
Well, I can't, and I can't oversell the Telegram channel enough. Dawn does an amazing job. She is a journalist of sorts in her own right, because she, if you go to that Telegram channel, I don't even know how she does it. I still don't know how she does it, because
speed, you know, reader.
she is a speed reader. And she's fast at everything. That's a little inside joke we have here with, you know, I call her Speedy G, because I ask her a question before I even finish asking the question, she immediately, has already posted the answer, and she'll have a link and everything else. I'm like, how did you do that? That was literally like, you know, 12 seconds. You have it already at your fingertips. So go to, if you're not familiar with Telegram, I know not everybody is on there yet, but you should be, because it's a place, at least, for now, where we have free speech and we're not censored. So if you go to t.me/ We the Patriots USA. So if you've never used it before, you should go to your browser and you can type that in, and it'll bring you directly.
They have a mobile app and a desktop app.
Right. It's amazing. Honestly, everyone should be on there, because she pulls together sources from all, like you said, from all over the world, but all different news sources, all different, you know, prominent personalities that are on Telegram or on Twitter and other places, and pulls it together all in one place to talk about.
As well as original content as well.
We do post our own original content. In fact, we just released with this Bristol Myers Squibb lawsuit last night, we had a press release that we wrote ourselves and posted last night. So you will get that as well. But yeah, education's a big piece. Definitely, you know, advocating for people, for their freedoms, for their individual liberties. It's scary right now. And if we don't stop it now, I don't think we're ever getting the country back. I mean, it's do or die time.
Taking a quick break to encourage you to head over to wethepatriotsusa.org. This is how you can get directly involved in the fight for our freedoms. Hit the donation tab on the homepage. Your tax-deductible gift will assist this 501c3 organization working to protect religious freedom, medical freedom, parental rights, educational freedom, First and Second Amendment freedoms, and so much more. Head to wethepatriotsusa.org now. And back to our interview with Brian and Dawn. Not only are the both of you very passionate Americans, but this is a very personal mission for the two of you as well. So Dawn, I want to start with you. Dive a little bit into your background in the military and in big pharma and some of the things that you had to overcome. And that's why you took this on, this mission.
Sure. So yeah, my part of this journey started back in 2001. Actually right during the period of 9/11, I had decided to join the military when I was only 16, but I was too young to actually, you know, leave for the military. So I was put in a delayed entry program, and coincidentally, the date that I had chosen in advance to depart was September 11th. And it was the morning of 9/11. So the night before, before you go off to the hotel and prepare for that, you know, they're processing you through MEPS. And one of the things that they do is give you every vaccine under the sun. And I had had some childhood vaccines earlier on in life. I had asthma and I had a handful of things growing up, but nothing that was debilitating by any means. And after I had those shots, I got really sick. I passed out. I mean, I could just go on and on. I need another hour just to go into everything that I was going through. And at the time, I had absolutely no idea I was connected to the vaccines. I was just like, what is wrong with me? Why am I so sick? Why am I having all these problems? And while I was in boot camp, I mean, I still had to pull my own weight. I was determined that I was going to make it through. So it didn't matter what physical pain I was in, I was going to make it. I ended up having walking pneumonia, bronchitis. I mean, just like the list went on and on and on. And it's the winter in Great Lakes, Illinois. It's freezing. And here I am at 4 o'clock in the morning doing like a 5 mile run with bronchitis and pneumonia. I mean, it was just amazing. But at the time I had no idea it was due to the vaccines. But I thought it was strange. Like I was fine. And then now I'm really sick. And then I was like, well, maybe it's just the stress of boot camp or you know, I hadn't really been away from home other than, you know, vacations or spending time with family or something like that. And it wasn't until I found out that I was expecting my first child and I started doing research on every single thing on the planet. I'm reading about breastfeeding and car seats and, you know, just everything that you can think of. And the internet was still a new-ish thing for most people. And all that was really available, or at least that I was aware of at the time, were AOL boards, like messaging boards. And I don't even know how I landed on an attachment parenting board, but I did. And it was one of the best things that's ever happened to me because I met a bunch of moms, virtually, of course, that just knew so much about, you know, child rearing in a beautiful way, that you're very connected to your child. And I learned so many things that I literally had no concept of. I had not been breastfed as a child. I wasn't raised in this way at all, but I was very intrigued by it. And the people that I came to know more, I saw the relationship that they had with their children and how close they were with their children. I was like, that's what I want. And one of them brought up vaccines to me. And then she said, you should really look into it. And she wasn't telling me like, oh, you should never do it. Or she was just like, if I were you, I would look into X, Y, Z. And here's a few reasons why. And that kind of piqued my interest because I'd never heard of that before. I was like, huh. All right. Well, I mean, I'm reading about everything else. Why not read about that? And I picked up a handful of books, whatever I can get my hands on at the library. I think Dr. Suzanne Humphrey, one of her books. One of the other books was something about why you should never trust your pediatrician. There were a handful of books that I picked up. And the more I read, I was terrified. And I asked questions, you know, at prenatal appointments, and they assured me vaccines were safe and effective. And that was absolutely not true. It wasn't a hostile environment the way that things are today, because that was almost 2 decades ago. But they were just very quick to brush it off. Like, no, that's not true. And, you know, moving on to the next thing, let's like get you in for an ultrasound kind of thing. But something struck me and I wasn't sure what it was at the time. And I was like, I'm going to hold off. And I made the decision, I'm not going to vaccinate my kid until he has to go to he or she, I didn't know at the time what I was having, until he or she has to go to school, because I heard that they were required for school, which of course later on I realized that wasn't the case either. And I said, well, I'll give him 5 years. You know, in Japan, they don't start vaccinating until they're at least 2, which gives their immune system, you know, time to build natural defense. And it gives you 2 years of nursing. And I was like, that sounds like a good plan. Like, I'll just put it off until later kind of thing. And so I wrote up this beautiful birth plan of exactly what I wanted for him. And I went in to deliver, and it was a military hospital. It was a training facility at that. So I had a horrendous birth experience with people coming in and out of my room. It was just awful. Like, I honestly still have like trauma from my birth experience. And at one point I had 17 people in my room, and I got up and I kicked them all out and I locked the door. And I was just so mad. I mean, we ended up having security involved. I mean, it was just like a nightmare, like literally a nightmare.
As a mom myself, I can't even imagine that.
It was a nightmare. Yeah. Total, utter nightmare. And, you know, they were like, you have to be induced. He's not coming quickly enough. He's going to be too big. You're going to have a C-section, you know, it's just like the fear mongering. And I wasn't a big fan of doctors in the first place because of my experiences growing up with a lot of elderly people in my family that had a host of issues like diabetes and heart disease and people that didn't take care of themselves, unfortunately, which is why I'm so crazy about natural health and taking very good care of myself so that I don't end up in that same situation. So I was pretty wary in the first place, and I didn't like being brushed off and being told what to do. That's one thing about me, even in the military, I'm not being told what to do. Or if I am, and I don't agree with it, I'm going to talk to you about it, whether it gets me in trouble or not. I don't care. I was that way in Catholic school. I was that way in the military. Like, nothing is changing me. Oh, nothing but God, I should say. But, anyway, so it was a horrendous experience. And what made matters worse is when I finally had my son, and I was exhausted, and I went to finally take a nap, and my ex-husband went to go get me something to eat because we all know that hospital food is awful. I swear that they purposely waited until he was gone and I was sleeping. I could be making that up. Maybe it was just a coincidence. I don't know. But nonetheless, while I was sleeping, they came in, took my son, and they gave him hepatitis B. They gave him vitamin K, literally everything that my birth plan said, please don't do this. Please do this. They literally just did the complete reverse. They gave him a bath. I wasn't ready for him to be bathed right away. I'd asked them to delay the cord cutting. They did that immediately, like literally just everything I asked them not to do. And he literally screamed all day, every day for almost 9 months straight. And I was like, what is wrong with this baby? Like, is this what parenting is really about? Like, I know babies cry, but I just couldn't believe that it could be that intense. And, you know, and I was very young. I was 19 when I had him, and I hadn't had a lot of exposure to babies. So I wasn't really sure if that was normal or not. And, you know, it was just my husband and I at the time, and we didn't really have family around, and none of our friends had children yet. I was just like, wow, this is pretty intense, but okay, we're going to go with it. And I brought him to his pediatrician, again, military facility. And they said, oh, he'll be fine. He just needs steroids. And he was 5 weeks old at the time. And I was like, I don't think a 5 week old should be taking steroids. And again, I go back to my attachment parenting board, and the moms are all like, did he get vaccinated? And I looked through the medical records, and sure enough, I found out that that's what happened. And the mom knew right away. She said, did he have hepatitis B? And I just kept on talking to all these moms, and they helped me link the entire thing together. And then I started looking back to what my experience was. And I was like, wow, I wonder if that could be related. And the more that I read, the more that I learned, and the more that I found out that this is not an isolated incident, and this has happened to millions and millions of people, and their stories were just not being heard. People literally just don't want to hear it. And essentially that experience from 19 years ago led me to where I am today. And I've just grown in my passion with it, because the more I try to share what's going on, the less people seemingly understand, at least until this whole COVID nightmare began, when people are starting to open up more. But most people learn by experience, and that's not a good thing in this situation. And I'm just sick of people being hurt. And my heart's really for the kids. I mean, I don't want any adult to be harmed ever either. By the end of the day, adults get to make their own decisions for their own lives, their own bodies. And I will respect someone's decision, even if I don't agree with it. I just want people to have adequate information. I want people to understand the risks and understand what they're potentially getting themselves into, because you may not notice that you had a reaction. It may not be an immediate reaction. That doesn't mean that if you develop cancer 5 years from now, that it wasn't related to the shot. And you'd never know, because if you read the inserts, although you can't do that with this shot because they're blank, but if you look back to previous vaccines, if you go to the 13.1 section, you'll find it's never been tested for that. So they can't prove to you that it's not possible, because they refuse to test for it, which to me is enough to know that it's an issue. So no, maybe I can't prove that that's what happened to you, but you can't prove that that's not what happened to you. And I'm going to go with the guilty till proven innocent in this one instance, although I don't normally think that way, because the evidence is just available to us. If you just talk to your neighbor and you talk to everybody, you find out, like, at some point, it can't be a coincidence. And anyway, I've just met probably tens of thousands of people by this point in time that have had similar stories, similar journeys. And I just would really like to prevent, especially children, from ever having to endure this kind of pain and misery. Because even though I've been detoxing for 19 years, I still have a host of autoimmune conditions. Some days are better than others. But it's really criminal what was done to me. I was basically a human experiment. And anyone that's ever served in the military can tell you the same thing. And to make matters worse, and then I'll wrap up here, since I was in during 9/11, anthrax was still a scare. So not only did I get the 3-dose series, but they lost my medical records and I had to get all of my vaccines all over again. So I'm sure that really didn't help. And that's not, you know, normal, because I had way more in my system in a very short period of time than probably most humans walking the planet, including, which I only learned about 2 years ago when I actually sat and went through page by page of my medical records from the Navy. I found out that I had consented, not knowing what I was consenting to at 17, of course, to some experimental technology, which to this day, I have absolutely no idea what that was or what it did to my body, but I imagine it wasn't a positive thing. So that anger fuels me every single day of what they have done to me, and more importantly, what they did to my son. Thank God he has recovered. He is mostly fine. But so many children aren't, and parents have lost their children over this, and parents are dealing with pain and misery every day. And, that's the one time I am happy to be angry, because it's a righteous anger, and I'm happy to fuel that to bring beauty to the world, right? Everything that's the enemy wants for evil, God can turn into glory. So that's what we're going to rock with.
Absolutely. That's the theme of this podcast, 100%. And you both embody that. And, you know, just to go off of what you're saying there about, you know, how they, you know, force these shots on you in the military. And we're seeing that right now. And so many military members struggling with that, with these mandates as well. And Brian, unfortunately, you have a somewhat similar experience as well.
Yeah. Well, my experience is not I don't have as much to tell, I should say, about that. But one thing Dawn said that struck me, really struck me, when she said, you know, kids are the priority, adults can make their own choices. Not for long. If we don't stop what's going on in this country, adults aren't going to have a choice either. They're already in some countries starting with this forced vaccination program, or are preparing for it, I should say, to go door to door and hold people down. I mean, they're already doing it. I've been told with the Aborigines. Dawn, you sent me something the other day, correct?
And there's another country, I can't think of it right off the top of my head. It may be Lithuania, but I don't want to misspeak.
So that was,
I read something about that this morning as well.
Yeah, so that was New Zealand, I believe. And that whole area, New Zealand, Australia, is really the worst for the, that's the proving ground.
Well, I don't know. Australia and Germany are picking up the rear here, so.
Austria, yeah. Austria and Germany. And yeah, I mean, there's some very horrifying things going on, and we're not saying this to scare people, but the time is now. We have to stop this, because otherwise it's not, even adults aren't going to have a choice. There won't be a choice. There will be forced compulsory vaccination will become the law of the land, and you will not even have any rights in your own home. And that's where this is headed. So we need to stop it.
Where this is headed. Look, just a week or so ago in a county in California, where they're back to the, you must wear a mask in your own home nonsense. In your own home. In your own.
No one's telling me to do that. No one's telling me to do that. All right. So my son, unfortunately, you asked about my personal story. I'll just be really quick because I know we're short on time. My son was injured by the flu shot, of all things, which is the most ridiculous, pointless shot. Just, you know, one of the most harmful shots, you know, until this one came along, I would say, and it was when he was a year old, and we immediately started noticing some changes. You know, he's perfectly healthy before that, and then very quickly declined with a lot of digestive symptoms, and then neurological symptoms. You know, he had been meeting, you know, all of his milestones, you know, prior to this happening, and had never had any health problems. And then all of a sudden they happened overnight with that. And then years later, when he was finally diagnosed, he's been diagnosed with autism. He's been diagnosed with an autoimmune encephalitis. He's been diagnosed with a variety of autoimmune conditions, as well as a mitochondrial disorder. But these autoimmune conditions, these immune disorders, his immunologist has confirmed that there is scientific evidence, there's studies that link that to the flu shot. And this is not some anti-vax doctor. This is a mainstream physician who's telling us this privately. She probably wouldn't say it publicly because they'd attack her and try to take her license away. But privately, she's brilliant. She's a researcher as well. Not only does she practice, as an immunologist, but she also does a lot of research, groundbreaking research in this field. And she's aware of it, that yes, there's direct link. There's evidence showing a link between the flu shot and these conditions. So, that's how I sort of got involved, when all this happened to my son, because then we started reading more and more, and we learned about the aborted fetal cells that are used in the production of some of these vaccines, which we didn't know anything about that. And then, my wife in particular did an incredible amount of research and sort of brought it to my attention, and I looked at it, and we both decided that, yeah, we can't do this anymore. We regret every day that we did what we did to our son. They say you don't live in regret. You shouldn't live in regret, but the regret is a good thing, I think, because, it sort of fuels me never to make the same mistake again. It sort of always have that reminder in the back of my mind that what I did You know, I did it of, you know, we did it of our own volition. Nobody forced us to give our son the flu shot. The doctor said it was the best thing. And the doctor tried to scare us and say that he could die if he got the flu that young, but no baby, no human being should be injected with that, with the toxic amounts of heavy metals at that young of an age. If you actually look into, and we could talk more about this sometime off air, but if you look into what's in there, as far as the heavy metals that are in vaccines, there are some great books I could refer you to and some documentaries. You know, one of them is that I watched early on was called Trace Amounts, about the trace amounts of mercury that are in the shots and that still remain, even though they told us a long time ago it was taken out. And then, of course, aluminum is a big one that's used as an adjuvant still to this day. And my son does have aluminum toxicity. I mean, he's had more testing in his life, in his, you know, 10 years of life, than most people will have in two lifetimes, and hundreds of thousands of dollars of testing, which luckily we have very good health insurance was covered. But you know, everything from genetic testing to all kinds, he's had MRIs, he's had EEGs, all kinds of testing, and things are not right. And it's because of the heavy metal toxicity, and just, you know, a lot of the other poisons that are in these shots. So again, I'm not going to talk too much about that more right now, but it is something that fuels me every day when looking at him and looking at all the other kids. You know, Don and I used to do a lot of rallies together with the Connecticut Freedom Alliance, our first organization. We did a lot of political rallies. We don't do political stuff right now because we're doing, you know, with We the Patriots, because it is a 501c3 nonprofit, and it is not, we can't really do political activism anymore. But we used to do a lot of those, and we would see people come up to us. We would see the stories firsthand. The parents came up to us, telling us about their children being harmed. You know, I had a mother telling me about her son that died. You know, we've just, you know, we've witnessed so much, carnage at the hands of the pharmaceutical industry
and all across the country
and the government. Yeah. And this is why we're so excited about this latest lawsuit, because it is time to make that industry, to hold that industry accountable. You know, Dawn didn't mention it, but she's a former executive level Pfizer employee. I don't know. Did you mention that, Dawn? I don't think
you did. I actually didn't. I didn't even get into that. I would have been talking for 10 hours. But
yeah, Dawn is an amazing person, not only a Navy veteran, as she told you in her military story, but she also has experience at the highest levels. She worked for who is now the CEO of,
yes, he was then the global president of the department that I worked for, which was vaccines, oncology, and consumer healthcare. We called it VOC. And he was the global president of VOC at the time. And now Alba Birla is the CEO of Pfizer. That was my boss.
So she has the inside knowledge. So mm-hmm. when you're looking at organizations to support that can really take on this cause and that really have a real shot at winning this fight, there's no one in the country, in my opinion, that's involved in this fight that has more knowledge than Don Jolly. Okay. So, you know, you can take that to the bank. And I'll just say, you know, I'm blessed to be working with her. She's an amazing person, extremely intelligent. And the two of us are just a really great team. And we're going to continue to do this. This isn't our first rodeo. She's been doing this for over 18 years, involved in educating and advocating, and then, you know, fighting now at this stage with litigation to doing this. And I've been doing it for several years now as well. So between us, we have a lot of experience. That's not to say there aren't other wonderful organizations, because there are, but I just don't believe that there's any other organization that has the depth of knowledge in the leadership roles, the inside knowledge of the pharmaceutical industry, and the amount of experience that we can bring to the table. So that's sort of my little pitch for people who are wondering, why should we donate to you and not donate to everybody? Donate to as many as you can. I'm not saying don't donate to the other organizations. Fund them too. But just remember us in your end of year gift giving, because it is tis the season for nonprofits and end of year gift giving as well. And we want you to please remember us in your gifts. Anything else you'd like to know about our organization, Taryn?
Just run people through real quick as we wrap up here, the cases that you guys are focusing on, so they know what to look out for in the news.
So a really big one that we have as well that I haven't mentioned yet is Bill Salyer's case against Walmart. Don mentioned Walmart earlier in passing, but Bill Salyer is a U.S. Marine veteran. Okay. And he is an awesome patriot. He's become a good friend of mine. We have a little text chain going with another friend of his, Steve Dace, that we appeared on his show with. And so we communicate pretty frequently. And he came down with COVID. I believe it was in August. He got really, really sick. And you know, eventually got to the point where he reached out and tried, and he got a script for ivermectin because he's smart. He's read the science. He knows that there are available treatments to cure people, to recover people from this. You don't need to get a shot. This is a curable illness, a treatable illness, I should say. And so although it's a manufactured illness, it's not a naturally occurring anything. It's a bioweapon, quite clearly. But anyway, that's another show we can do about that. Mm-hmm. But he got a script for ivermectin from a physician. And he went to the pharmacy at his local Walmart in Minnesota. And the pharmacist refused to fill it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're going to hear from Bill. And we're going to hear from Bill next week. So
all right, I won't give away
deeper into the story.
I won't give away too much, but it is, but anyway, incredible. Pharmacists, mm-hmm. This is the legal perspective, okay? In my opinion, that pharmacist was acting way outside the scope of his practice. He was practicing medicine without a license by making a medical decision for that patient, overriding the doctor. He actually ended up hanging up on the doctor at one point because the doctor called and said, fill it. And he hung up on the doctor. So the hubris that's being shown here by pharmacists all across the country, we intend this lawsuit to be, again, a shot across the bow. So anyone out there, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, you know, we've had people contact us that were denied at Kroger's. I mean, all of these, you know, supermarket chains, Walmart, anywhere that has a pharmacy now, which is pretty much everywhere. And what does that tell you about the state of American health? There's a pharmacy in pretty much every storefront. We will take these lawsuits on. We will do this if we can get the funding. And that's, again, why it's so important to get the funding. We have another lawsuit against Creighton University in Nebraska that denied a couple of Catholic students, supposedly a Catholic university, that denied these two Catholic students their sincerely held religious belief against the shot because, again, they don't want to have anything to do with abortion. And Creighton actually said, we're not going to honor any religious exemptions for anyone. Their religious exemptions are off the table. This is supposedly a Catholic university. So we have that lawsuit that we funded as well, or we've helped to fund. And then we have a lot of other pending lawsuits, some of which I can't really talk about. Yours is one of them that is actually pending, hasn't quite been filed yet. And you can tell your story. You've already told it. You can continue to tell it. And that's another one that we are very happy to fund. So there's just some exciting things happening, but there's so many more things that are happening that we need to step up and stop.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I know that you guys are just receiving, you know, so many emails daily from people that are reaching out that need your help with a variety of issues dealing with their rights and with their freedoms. And so that's why we're here. That's why we're launching this podcast, is to tell those stories. And I just can't thank you guys enough for telling your stories tonight and for willing to do that and for being willing to help launch this podcast with me. So thank you so much. Thanks for joining us on the very first episode of Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. We are so blessed to have you alongside us in this journey and in this fight as we continue to share the stories of everyday Americans like you. I can't wait to share some of the guests that we have coming up. I'll give you a little teaser. We have Bill Salyer, the ex-Marine who was denied ivermectin at the Walmart pharmacy, that we'll be talking to. Tim Hill, a sports broadcaster in South Carolina who was just let go from Cumulus Radio due to the mandates as well. And so many more exciting guests coming up. You have to hit the subscribe button, however you're watching or listening to this podcast, and stay tuned for new episodes each Friday. And maybe we'll have some bonus episodes sprinkled in there too, because unfortunately this is happening to way too many people. So we have a lot of people that are willing to talk to us about this. And I am so blessed to be able to share those stories in hopes that it helps you and it helps everyone standing up for their freedoms. Remember, faith and freedom over fear.